Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Welcome, Darkhearts.
We are Darkhearts. Welcome, welcome. It's officially spooky season now, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, September is for sure spooky season, like the start of spooky season. I'm not thrilled with the fact that this week is supposed to be fairly hot, but this weekend is going to cool down.
That's very true.
So ready for it.
So ready. I darkened my hair. I got in my vibes. Oh, yeah. It's supposed to get way cooler this weekend. I just checked the weather. That's spooky season in full effect.
Yes. Yes. I didn't darken my hair. Actually, the last time I did it, I lightened it because now it's yellow and blue. But
that's fine because your hair is pretty much different every time I see you. So it's fine. You can change it anyway you want. Whenever you want.
Yeah. It's constantly changing. It's fine. It's no big deal. But yeah, no, nothing too crazy to add to spooky season. Like, some of y'all aren't into this and I get it. That's fine. But some of you who do, a couple weeks ago, I've talked about this, Shannon, I got myself a psychic reading. So, you know, I've always had stuff with like spirits around me and happenings and stuff. So she encouraged me to work on like my medium abilities. So I'm like practicing my meditation and stuff. So, you know, we're trying to tap into that.
Yeah.
That spirit side of life. Maybe for spooky season, I can do some like ghost reading. I don't think I'll be there. Maybe next spooky season.
But that's fun. You know, it can be spooky season year round. We like spooky things always. So it's not like it has to always be spooky season. It just is even better during spooky season, I guess.
I mean, for sure. Maybe next year we can plan better and stuff. And maybe we'll have a little income that maybe next year we can plan the trip to like the Velisca house or some haunted place. And maybe at that point I'll be able to communicate with the spirits around us and all that fun stuff.
And I will just be like zonked up on Xanax because I'll be scared and, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll do what we each need to do to get by, and it's fine.
It'll be great. I'm all about this, you know.
Heck yeah. That's fun stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, so, no, you know, nothing too crazy. Kids are still getting into the swing of being in school. Like, I can't believe, I seriously feel like I haven't had time since they've been in school. I feel like I've been go, 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 so.
Same. I was like, oh, things will slow down when school starts. I'm like, no, I feel like I think the next season it's always going to slow down in life, but it never does. So it's like more of just learning how to cope with each season, I suppose, and still not there yet. So
one of these days it'll feel like we're in a rhythm. But anyways, I mean, tell me about where are you taking us this week? Where are we?
Yeah, so this week we are going to Illinois. So, good old Illinois. Let me pull my notes back up here. I was just had them up. And so this case, I actually stumbled across listening to a different podcast and it just happened to be in the Heartland. And I was like, bonus. So it worked out quite swell, you could say. So this is a case back from 2005. So I always want to be like, it's pretty recent. Yeah, that was still almost like 20 years ago. I still am in that mindset that like I graduated high school like last year. Yeah, no, we're going on 20 years. Well, so
that's like we just,
you know,
we had lunch last week and I was like, yeah, I'm 32. And you're like, wait a minute. I'm like, nope. Totally.
And then I questioned everything that changed everything. I was like, Cassie, I thought we were only 2 years apart. How old am I? Like, it made me very scared about everything. So
yeah,
it's
no,
fine.
Listen. Time has no meaning for me anymore. I don't know how old I am. I swear I just graduated a few years ago, not almost 20.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely the 36-year-old that thinks she's like 22. Like, I mean, I don't act that age. I just think like, I don't feel like I'm the age that I am. Like, you know, I don't get it.
I don't know where time has gone, but yes.
You know, yeah, that I graduated 2004. So like, to me, I feel like this is like not that long ago. It was, I mean, it's recent as in the sense that it's not in like the 90s or 80s or 70s. So we're good. We'll just go with that. Right. So we're going to be talking about the murder of Adrian Reynolds today. So there's kind of a lot to this story. There are several documentaries you can watch on this, and I highly recommend it because it is just such a crazy case. One that I watched, I actually watched it twice because I was like, did I miss something? Is, I don't know if you've heard of I Killed My BFF, you know, that show, very cheesy, but they reenact things.
No. Yeah.
Oh, there's a whole show. I think, where did I find that one? Was that one on Peacock? That was either on Peacock or Amazon Prime. I don't remember.
Okay.
But if you just, I mean, search it. Yeah. And there's like several seasons and episodes, which I'm like, okay, I don't know how I feel about that. I killed my BFF. Please don't kill me, Cassie. I won't kill you. Let's have an agreement. So that's an interesting one. And there's also a Snapped episode on this, and there's a Dateline ID episode, as well as, you know, a million other things you can YouTube and see on the case. So I dove into all of those. I listened to podcasts on it, and there's really like no good place to start. So we'll just kind of start with, like I said, this is the murder of Adrienne Reynolds. Spoiler alert, she dies. But then the two people that are also kind of involved besides Adrienne are Sarah Kolb and Corey Gregory. Two giant pieces of shit. We'll just start with that. So Sarah's the one who is mostly involved, I guess, in this crime, but Corey is definitely guilty, and I'm not going to act like he's not. So he's also involved in this. Honestly, I feel like this story really kind of just comes down to being accepted and being popular in high school, and how when you're that age, that seems to be the only thing that matters. And it's really sad when you think back to it, because I'm like, the people who were popular when I was in high school are doing nothing with their lives now, or are nobody. You know what I mean? Like, it is very sad, but I understand at the time that's like all that you care about. Not everybody, but you know, it's a big thing. So
high school's such one of those things though, where it feels like it's never ending and you're always going to be part of this. And I mean, your brain's still developing, your hormones are going on. It's hard to imagine what there's life after high school. Like, I wish I could go back and talk to teenage me and be like, fuck these people who are treating you like shit. Like, you don't need their approval. You're not even gonna talk to them when you're an adult. Like,
correct. I don't really know.
You're gonna be better off.
I mean, I won't get into that, but I don't talk to a lot of people even from high school, and it doesn't matter. And I remember one kid specifically, when I was in high school, a friend of mine, I was super upset about something, which it's funny because I literally don't remember what it was even about. But my friend, I was crying about it too. He was like, you know what? In a few years, like, you're going to look back and this isn't even going to matter. And you won't even remember what you were upset about. And look at that. I sure don't. So I think it's just crazy that people let that kind of control their lives. And I mean, I get it in the moment. It's easy to say like, it's not going to matter. But when you're in that moment, you know, I just think, I wish more people just didn't care, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know we have a slight.
No, you were good.
Sucks. But I think it's one of those things too, especially for us being in those small town high schools. I think that can be, I'm not saying big town ones aren't either, but you have more of a variety of people
1,000%.
And groups and people who would accept you more. And so like when you have that small town, like it's a little more difficult, especially if you stand out a little bit or you're a little weird and stuff like that. Whereas at least here in Omaha now, you know, my son has green hair. He paints his nails. No one says a thing to him. You know, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, that would have been just talked about like other.
Yeah, I think, it's really sad. And those people that feel the need to bully kids, I mean, bullying never is going to end, unfortunately. But like, it happened back then. It still happens. It's like, those people, it says more about them than it does you. And so, you know, I can think back to, I have so many different examples I really could go into about things that matter and people that said things then that now have nothing but other things to say. And it's like, screw you. You know, I don't.
Right.
It doesn't even matter. I literally don't talk to anybody that matters. So. Yeah. So that's kind of, I guess, along the realms of where we're going with that, I should say, because so when we talk about like high school being popular, so Sarah Kolb was the one that we were talking about. She was very popular, but not in the traditional kind of way. So Sarah and Corey, the other guy we talked about, they both actually attended this school called Black Hawk Outreach Center. So basically this is an alternative high school for troubled kids who had issues or had been kicked out of a previous school. So we all know those kind of schools. So it's a different kind of breed of kids there. I guess you could say just they're all, you know, more troubled, a little bit more rebellious, I guess. So
I mean, that's where a lot of them are. I think that's also those types of schools tend to be for kids who, like, especially around that time frame when, like, ADD and all of those things weren't as focused on. It was just like, let's drug you up. Those kids tend to do better in those schools and stuff too. Yes. So I mean, yeah, you definitely had those troublemakers, but I think a lot of it too was sometimes those kids that just were, you know, they learned a little differently in public schools.
IEDs weren't even like, or IEPs. IEDs. Did I say D's? Am I thinking IEDs because I had that in here somewhere? Yep. Okay. IEPs are way more of a thing, but they weren't really then. IEDs, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm just mixing up words, guys. It's fine. But clearly maybe I have one. No, that was like not even a thing then, you know? So like, I don't know. I think that that was kind of a lot of it too. So this school too, it was primarily just to earn your GED. So it wasn't really like you were going to get your high school diploma. It was just the GED. It was a community college actually where this was held, but they had like a section of it. I actually looked it up. This place still exists and still there, still available. So Sarah Kolb is 16 at this time. Several different people in interviews that I watched, documentaries, described her as being popular. Like I said, she did have a horrible temper and she was known to fly off the handle at very small things. So she would dress in all black and would wear clothes with lots of chains and zippers. They basically described her as very goth. I mean, that would be your stereotype of goth probably. So black everything, which I wear black all the time, but I'm not goth. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. They said that like she had very serious anger problems though, which is probably why she was at this school. She was kind of seen as like the queen bee of the school, or queen of freaks, they actually referred to her as. So she was very, very confident. No one would mess with her, but everybody wanted to know her. She was super cool to people though. She would give them rides whenever they needed a ride. She would bum them cigarettes. And honestly, it's kind of sad when you think about it, because it sounds like the confidence she had was like, there was potential there as far as like she could have been something. And I think we always need more confident women in our world. So she kind of just let it go shit, because I mean, when you find out later on what she really does with it, it's like, you know, you sound like you could have really done something with that if you had that kind of a go-getter confidence. But so that was kind of sad. But she also was a self-proclaimed juggalo. So what is a juggalo, you ask? This is a person who is a hardcore fan of the band ICP. So Insane Clown Posse, for anyone who doesn't know. I remember in high school when I heard a song of theirs and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like very traumatizing, very like every kind of, I don't know, like just terrible thing, word, topic. I was like, not what I expected, you know, small town kid.
But, I was never really into ICP. I was more of like System of a Down and stuff like that. Rob Zombie. I was more of like the hard rock.
I was like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys in high school, but no, I still enjoy
those two. I still like the wide range of genres and stuff.
I would listen to whatever.
But
I feel like there was a couple kids I know at school that were very into ICP, and so I just kind of knew it because of them. But you know, also very interesting, I looked up, ICP is like one of the most charitable bands. They donate to a ton of different foundations and they're super quiet about it and humble. Like they never talk about it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I even looked it up. So it's like Make-A-Wish, Toys for Tots, food banks. And even during the 2000s, I don't know how long of a span this was, they had a food drive at every single one of their shows for a long time. I was like, okay, good on you. Like, Who would have thought?
See,
you know?
You can't judge a book by its cover. Like,
right.
You just never
know. I thought that was amazing. And the fact that they were so quiet about it, like, cool. Like, that just, I mean, okay, I kind of like them now, you know? That's really sweet. So that's kind of a little background on her. I guess that kind of gives you a picture of, I don't know, for me, when I was, like, listening, I was like, I have a picture in my mind of what this girl's like, what this school is like, what these kids, what they like to do. So they would often hang outside kind of in, like, the little commons area in between classes, and they would smoke cigarettes, just chat. So in November of 2004, Sarah notices that there's a new girl at school. She sees her, and all she says is, she's hot, and carries on. So after that, she continues to notice her. This girl ends up being Adrian Reynolds. So Adrian, she grew up wanting to be a country singer or fashion designer. I read later on that she actually had also dreamt of joining the military. Not sure. I mean, those are all very different avenues, so I don't know. But
those are,
very different. So that's a bit about what she wanted, I guess, where she was going. Sounds about right for that age of wanting 1,000 different kinds of, you know, dreams for your life. So
yeah.
She was 16, and she had just moved to this town. Oh, did I even say what town we were in? I think I just said Illinois. The name of the town is East
Moline. You just said Illinois.
Okay, East, so East Moline is the name of the town.
Okay.
East, yeah. I saw where it said Moline, but then a lot of times I saw where it said East Moline, so we'll just go with that.
Perfect.
So she had moved here. She had actually moved from Kilgore, Texas, so Adrian kind of had a rough go since she was born. So her mom had her when she was 16. Sometimes this works out great, and some of these moms, it's great. This was not one of those situations. So Adrian had been in a ton of trouble since, you know, ever since she was born, pretty much. She already had 3 assaults on her record and spent time at rehab all before the age of 12. So,
oh my goodness.
Not the best. Correct. So she lived with her mom and stepdad. She fought with her stepdad a lot. They just did not see eye to eye. And she also was a cutter. Her mom said that it was never anything super deep. It was basically scratches, but she said that it had helped her feel better when she did it. So she was really a handful. They decided that she would move to East Moline to live with her dad and stepmom in hopes that it would kind of straighten her out, maybe give her a fresh start. So she moves there. So she lives with her dad and stepmom, and they were very, very loving, very supportive people. On the documentary I watched, I think it was I Killed My BFF. The dad is on that documentary a lot, and he just seems like a really sweet, sweet guy. So he was really worried because she was just so far behind in school because of her past, that he worried about her being able to catch up to where she needed to be. So they enrolled her then at Black Hawk Outreach Center in hopes that she could just kind of catch up and get her GED. So Sarah and Adrian, they first met when they were both outside smoking in between classes, like I had mentioned before. So they became friends really quick. Adrian already had kind of noticed that Sarah was very popular. Everybody loved Sarah. So she was really excited when she met Sarah because she kind of thought, I kind of have an in now. I'll make new friends. And she was just really happy to have her as a friend. So Sarah kind of just took Adrian under her wing by all means. So she would give her rides often. Sarah worked at a movie theater, so she would even take Adrian to movies all the time. They talked on the phone all the time. This was still kind of before cell phones, so it was always on landlines. And, you know, they just had a lot in common, really, because they both kind of grew up with different, or, you know, not your traditional pasts. I know Sarah lived with just her mom. Dad was not involved at all, was grounded all the time, just in a lot of trouble. So, you know, Adrian's parents were not really thrilled with this friendship. They said that they actually did judge Sarah based on her appearance when they first met her. Even their dog growled at Sarah the first time she came over. The stepmom on the documentary said that they thought that was weird. So they weren't super thrilled, and they know that they had judged her based on that, but they were just really wanting a fresh start for Adrian, don't want her to go down that same path. And Sarah just kind of seemed like a troubled girl, so that was a concern, especially because Adrian was the typical teenager. She dressed in jeans and wore a lot of pink tight-fitting clothes. Super pretty girl. But when she started hanging out with Sarah, she really started taking on Sarah's appearance as well. So she started dressing in all black, wearing the same style of things, listening to the same music, and even pierced her eyebrow, even though her parents had told her not to. They told her no facial piercings. One day they came home, she had a Band-Aid over her eyebrow, and it was like she just really didn't give a shit. So definitely taking on the Sarah attitude in that sense.
Well, also, so, though, like, when you put your kid in an alternative school like that where you know there are troubled teens, like, that's kind of, not to say that she wouldn't have fallen into that crowd in a typical high school as well, but she would have had a bigger option for a friend base than what you do in something like that.
Exactly. That's kind of what I thought. And I'm not saying all kids, are bad in a school like that, but like, knowing that they have that kind of background and you're kind of trying to keep her away from that.
Knowing that there's a higher rate of that in those types of schools, like, that's where I understand, like, the GED, I don't know. I feel like,
which I'm sure now they obviously really regret it, but
I'm not trying to, like, I'm not trying to blame them, but it's like, okay, if you put her in that situation, what kind of friends did you expect her to make?
Agree. I 1000% agree. I'm like, well, if I knew that my kid had problems and was already coming, like, you're making this big life change by moving them from Texas, very different place, to Illinois, which is also a very different place from Texas. Like, that's a big change to begin with. And then, you know, once again, it's a high school kid who is desperate to fit in and be popular and be cool and have friends. So, of course, and if Sarah's this popular, it sounds like everybody was like, wanted to be around her. And if she has her on her side, she's so gonna just go with it.
Exactly.
That's very common at that age. You conform to who you're around. And if you're popular, you're gonna keep doing it. So, okay. So they're good friends. So kind of on a different line of things, they get along really well. They do have a lot of chemistry. It's very obvious. So Sarah openly identified as bisexual, whereas Adrian was more bi-curious. So there was definitely something there. And I think Adrian was kind of just like dipping her toe in the water, you know, like,
well, again, hey, we're just going to see. You're a teenager. You're still figuring yourself out.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You have someone, I mean, at that point, it could just be, you have someone who's paying attention to you in ways that you haven't been before. You're exploring, okay, is this just because she's paying attention to me, or is there a legitimate attraction there? Like, that's, you're figuring yourself
and, like,
out.
She's popular and she's showing an interest in her like that. Of course, she's going to be like, okay, maybe this is cool, you know? So, I mean, they, by all means, were kind of inseparable anyway, like, as friends. And so there were rumors, of course, going around already that they had been fooling around and that Adrian was experimenting. But there was never a lot of, like, truth behind it. We don't really know. So, you know, in high school, rumors or whatever.
High school,
but
that's how it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So around this time is when Sarah introduces Adrian to Corey Gregory. So I know I mentioned Corey at the very beginning. This is kind of where he'll come in a little bit more. So Corey was actually Sarah's ex-boyfriend, and he was by all means very obsessed with her. Very, very, very much. Like, crazy. So they stayed friends after they broke up, and they still did everything together. So they were good friends. They would smoke weed together, drink after school, just, it was funny because on the documentary, he's like, you know, just normal high school things. And I was like, I mean, I don't know that that's necessarily normal for everybody, maybe at this school, but after school, you know, they go do all that. So he was wrapped around her finger. She loved it. She was super controlling of him. It was kind of one of those things that, like, she didn't want him like that, but she didn't want anyone else to have him either, because I think she liked that she had him right there. Oh, 1000%. So he was just always around. He would do anything. So I think he kind of thought too, like, if I just keep hanging around her, maybe she'll like me back. I'll be out of the friend zone again. That whole thing. So the three of them then became really good friends, and then they would hang out all the time. So kind of a side note to Corey, I just have to say, he looks so crazy. You should just Google a picture of him right now so you can get a visual of what we're talking about. On the documentary, he has these huge eyes. Like, it's like a deer in the headlights look when he talks about Sarah. Like, wow, he's like a I mean, die to the end, like ride or die. Corey, yeah. So very, very obsessed with her. Like, I don't know. So I mean,
he looks like he had a rough life himself. And
yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. It never really touched on like his background, but clearly, I mean, and he's at this school. So Sarah actually met him at a mall. Welcome back to the 90s or 2000s, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
And she like had such a pull over him that she convinced him to come to this school, the Black Hawk Outreach Center, just from meeting at a mall. So like that kind of shows. He had even like written her this note in high school about how he would do anything for her and he will be there until the end of time. And clearly he wasn't lying. So you'll see where we go with this. So yeah, just a psycho dude. I have nothing really good to say about him because of everything you'll hear eventually. So after a while, Sarah and Adrian are kind of like dating, I guess you could say. So they're together, but Adrian really starts getting a lot of attention from boys around school. They're noticing her. She's noticing them. She likes it. What high school girl doesn't like getting attention from anyone who's going to show an interest to you?
What person in general doesn't like getting attention and feeling like they're special? So,
yes, right. So like, you know, it was very clear that several guys wanted to sleep with her. They talked about that in the documentary. And I was like, well, yeah, they're high school boys, I guess.
They're high school boys. Yeah. I'm guessing Sarah wasn't thrilled with this new.
She's not. No. She is not happy about this. So she kind of felt like Adrian just didn't need her anymore. She felt very used, you know. So she kind of wanted to test it out and see if Adrian was still loyal to her after everything. So Sarah invites Adrian to go to this party with her and Corey one night. So there's this party house. It was at Rock Island was the name of the town, I believe. So they literally called this house the, quote, party house. This house was like a place that the Juggalo crowd rented out for parties, I guess. I don't know how that all went down. That's what they said on the documentary. I don't know if it was really someone else's house or someone older rented it and these younger kids just came and drank. I'm not sure. So this is the party house. So Sarah made sure that Adrian knew that she was doing her a favor by bringing her to this party. Sarah wanted Adrian to be her girlfriend and she wanted other people to know that this was her girlfriend and to, you know, leave her alone. So this kind of became a problem right away at the party. So they get there. There's tons of people there. Adrian starts flirting with other guys at the party and Sarah does not like this. She even sees her go upstairs with a guy and later they mention that she slept with him. Don't know why that necessarily matters, but I guess
right.
If Sarah knows that too, it could just make her more fuel to the fire, I guess.
Right.
So Sarah's pissed. So she confronts Adrian and actually pulls a knife on her. She tells her that she brought her to the party and that she's there with her. And the people they interviewed in the documentary said, like, nobody took Sarah seriously when this happened because it's an empty threat. She was known for making empty threats all the time to people. And they're like, okay, you have a knife. Like, are you just going to stab her? No, you're not going to stab her. This is high school drama, whatever. So people were just like, this is stupid. It's a little bit much. Like, okay, Meryl, like, dial it down. We're not going for an Academy Award right now with the acting, you know, like very, very dramatic by all means, very high school. So everybody was just kind of like, okay, that's a bit much. So
why would Adrian want to be with anyone who's that controlling of her,
right?
Like, even as a friend, like, but you want to be with her as a romantic partner. What are you doing to make her want to be with you?
Right. And like, do they actually have that talk? Like, maybe Adrian wasn't even sure. Maybe she just thought like, we're hanging out. I don't know that we're together. Cause I feel like at that age too, you have to have very clear lines because, and also like, what does that even mean when you're like going out with someone at that age? What does that mean? You know, everybody, what is it? Hooking up could mean a million different things. It's just not a very clear thing. And clearly we talked about Sarah having major rage issues and flying off the handle for things. Yeah. Okay. So that was that. So that party happens. Now they go back to school. Sarah's super jealous of Adrian because Adrian's getting all this attention. She's getting popular. Adrian was really just becoming self-sufficient. So Sarah's pissed, you know, she thinks that she helped Adrian get popular and thinks that she just used her and she just felt super rejected. It's like really reminds me of a Mean Girls situation.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, Regina George and Katie Heron, all of that, like, it's just so, it's very high school. Like this sums it up on all points. Like I understand why Sarah's upset, but also like calm down, you know, it's fine. So that's kind of where they're at with that. So Sarah's already super pissed. So I don't know how much time passes in between this, but they talk about there was another party out at the party house. So Adrian was actually at this party and she did not go with Sarah. So she's already out there with whoever. Sarah shows up to this party later in the night. She hears that Adrian's there and she hears that Adrian had just slept with a different guy at this party. So she goes freaking ham. Like she just starts, she loses her shit. She's screaming at Adrian in front of everybody. So she calls her a slut, a whore, all of this. She told her that it was, you know, if it wasn't for her, she wouldn't have even known about that party house. And she just keeps going on and on. She even goes as far as to tell her that she doesn't deserve to live. Okay, Meryl, Jesus. Once again, like, let's dial it down a notch. So everybody hears this. I just picture like a movie where the music is playing and it all stops and everyone's staring at this, you know, like with their that's red the way it was kind of described. And... yes. So Adrian naturally is humiliated. She walks out of the party. She's crying. She just goes outside and just kind of has a meltdown. So Mr. Corey Gregory here, he was actually really pissed at the way that Sarah handled that. He did not agree with how she handled that. So he goes out and he's comforting her and he's just kind of there for her. So this is kind of when Adrian starts to see Corey in a different way. She's like, you know what? Like he's being really sweet to me. We kind of have a chemistry. So, you know, she was like, I know that he's obsessed with Sarah, but Sarah doesn't even want him. So why does it matter? You know, like it shouldn't matter if I have feelings for him. So those two kind of start like hanging out. You can see where this is going probably as well. So it talked about how they would send like write each other notes all the time. And I was like, oh, the days of notes. I remember notes. Like folding them. Remember when you'd learn how to like fold them certain ways? So it would, like, yes. tuck under and uh-huh. then like we would get the cool gel pens to write notes. Yes. Oh my gosh. My the gel best pens friend. Were the best. Yes, they were. And my very best friend in high school, I remember we kept each other's notes. I have a box of them somewhere at my parents' house of all of our notes. And I would die to read those because who knows? It's probably talking about the same kind of crap about he said, she said, you know, it's just.
Oh, 100%. Some of us used to do like instead of just like having the paper, we'd have notebooks that we passed back and forth.
Oh, yeah. And, like your own notebook.
We'd have our yep. full notebook and like one of us would write and then we'd give it to the other person and uh-huh. they'd read it and write throughout the day. And like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was like a thing. So
it was
clearly they're like, I mean, they're in deep because they're writing notes. So
yes.
Adrian even had written in her journal they saw later that says, I love Corey Gregory because he's respectful, cute, and honest, and I really think I'm beginning to trust him, which is actually aww. Very sad. It's kind of foreshadowing what's about to come. But also that just shows the innocence of high school love, I guess yeah. if you want to call it that.
Aww.
So they had been hanging out a lot. They even had gone to a movie together, but neither of them had told Sarah. So Sarah, because she knows everything, she finds out. Like, she's just crazy. She probably knows we're talking about her right now. I feel scared right now. She knows podcast on her.
If she worked at the movie theater, though, too, like, I'm just imagining it's, like, a smaller place.
Yeah.
And so, like, people at the theater are like, hey, we saw your two friends here.
Literally.
We already know she's yes. controlling and, like, those are hers. Like, she oh, yeah. doesn't want Corey, but she doesn't want anyone else to have. She's very much like, I don't want this toy, but no one else can play with it
because
it's mine. And I'll just let it sit there, but no one else can mess with it. And the moment someone starts messing with it, then I want it.
Yeah. And that is her. And she's scary. Like, you should Google her as well. She has like demon eyes. Like, they're completely empty. I'm not even kidding. When I saw a picture of her, I was like, oh, I would never... I wouldn't even talk to her. I'd be so scared to have any kind of communication, like no soul. I mean, she's bad.
Yeah.
So, she knows all the things. So she knew that. She probably knew what they did before that, what they were going to do in the future. She knows it all. So she finds out though that they go to the movie and she loses her shit. So, I mean, remember, she needs to control Corey, right? So yes. She's very much needing to do that. So he was so under her influence. I mean, that he would do anything for her, like from the beginning. So she needed that. She needed that control. She wanted it back. So she was really, really jealous that he had liked someone else and not her. And not only just someone else, it was Adrian, who she already was pissed about.
And who just... she already wanted to control her as well.
Yes.
And
so it's
she
a
had
whole
feelings
thing.
For her.
Did you find a picture of her?
I did, yeah.
It's creepy, right? Empty eyes. You'll see, I mean, we'll post all the things, but I just needed you to have a visual so you could kind of see where this was going. Because it was one of those cases that, like, I went down the rabbit hole. I've been, like, researching this case for, like, 2 weeks because when I found it, then I kept finding more things. And I was, like,
especially
very
that
into
that picture
that
they
have. The white turtleneck. Yep.
Yes. Which looks like they were clearly trying to make her look.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Well, and we'll talk about some of her little, like, transitions she's gone through look-wise. The different looks she's gone through since she's been in prison because it's. Oh, there's
a lot.
You mean
like the one with like the weird little like just two pieces of
oh, the two pieces
rest...
of hair. Yes.
And then,
there's one where she has like sideburns and like, I mean, yeah, guys, there's a picture of her when she shaved her whole head, but she has like two long pieces in the front. And I thought, cool,
like
you do you,
yeah.
But like, that's probably not going to do really good if you're going to trial with your hair like that. Also, like the jury might judge. So,
yeah.
Which I don't know what it was like at that time, but okay. So Sarah, crazy. So when she finds out all of this, she's furious. So she starts all these rumors about Adrian. She's bad mouthing her and she's telling everybody like not to talk to her. So she's just being a bully. Adrian, on the other hand, hates that. And she doesn't want them to fight. She just wants to make amends with Sarah. And it really bothered her that Sarah didn't want to be friends. So then she goes to the opposite extreme of like, she writes her notes and notes and notes and notes. Sarah doesn't respond to any of them. She even would call her 20 to 30 times a day to talk to her. She would show up at her work, but Sarah just would never talk to her. And it was like becoming a bit much, I think, for Sarah even. So Adrian in one of her notes even asked Sarah why she hated her so much and why she wanted her to die. So Adrian was one of those people, which I can relate in the sense of like not wanting someone upset with you and like wanting to get to the bottom of it right then and there, you know, like some people need time to simmer. Like I'm that kind of person, like tell me what I did, now we're gonna fix it. So I get it, but like knowing Sarah's a little crazy, maybe just like reel it back.
Well, that's also on Adrian's part a bit much too, to be showing up where she works like that's on the
that's
verge
like
of stalking.
Chill out, if I want to talk to you, I'll come talk to you.
Yeah, so, like if it had been a guy, we'd be like, hey, now, like back up. So like, this is still the same thing. Like,
it is.
We need to back up a
bit. It's harassment.
Yes.
So
they're both in the wrong on different ends of things.
Yeah. So
it's clearly
it's
a very
like,
toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Everybody has issues in this story. So, but I mean, really everybody in life has issues, but come on. Okay. So then randomly, just one day, kind of out of the blue, Sarah invites Adrian to lunch. She asks her to go to Taco Bell. Ugh, everyone loves Taco Bell, right? Taco Hell. So asks her to go to Taco Bell and says, you know, they can talk things out, whatever. Also, they're in high school and going to Taco Bell for lunch is probably very cool. So,
oh yeah.
And they had cheesy fiesta potatoes back then. I don't know if they still have those, but I'm just saying,
did they
guys,
get rid of all their potatoes or did
they got rid of
back
all
again?
The things. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been to Taco Bell, but it's like you can get 87 items for $4.32.
I mean, back in
so,
the day, anymore you cannot.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless
you're
just going to get like 87. No, because even the cheapest thing now is $1 because I like the cheesy roll-ups and they're like 99 cents.
Oh, well, it's cheaper than I thought. Yeah, like the dollar menu at McDonald's the other day, we were there for, you know, getting a Happy Meal because whose kid doesn't love McDonald's? I mean, I was looking at their dollar menu and I was like, no, nothing is a dollar. Even their like double cheeseburgers were like three something. And I was like, that used to be a 99 cent thing.
Yeah. I remember when I was like 18, 19, the bank I worked at was right there and I would buy two double cheeseburgers, two McChickens, and a large sweet tea.
And it was like, what? Cheap?
It was like $5.
Yes. At Wendy's. I remember in high school, speaking of high school, because we had open campus for lunch. Did you guys have open campus too? I'm assuming small town. Oh, no. Really?
We were way too small for that. They didn't trust us to do that.
I mean, we were pretty small, but they would hide on certain streets to pull us over for speeding, even though they gave us like 37 minutes to eat, but mm-hmm. that includes driving somewhere. But there was a Wendy's nearby. And like, if you were one of the first ones to get there, you were lucky because that's when everything was 99 cents. You could get a junior fry, junior bacon cheeseburger, and a small drink. And they were each 99 cents. But if you got a Frosty, if you got four items, everybody loved it because with tax, it came to $4.20. And when you're in high school, you think everything yep. $4.20 related is like the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
I just, man, good times. Now you could get a drink for $4.20 and that's probably accurate.
It's so expensive these days. yeah.
So, okay. Sorry, guys. It's almost lunchtime when we're recording this. I'm getting hungry now, you know. okay. So January 21st of 2005, Sarah, Adrian, and Corey, and then another friend of theirs actually who is not mentioned very much in anything, but he was there. His name is Sean. They all got in the car to go to lunch at Taco Bell. So Sarah's driving, Adrian's sitting up front with her, and then both of the boys were in the back. Corey said that you could cut the tension with a knife while they were driving. It was just very awkward. Everybody felt kind of weird. So they pull into the back of the Taco Bell, and when they park, the girls immediately just start arguing. They're fighting. They're screaming at each other. Sean yells at them to stop. And Sarah turns around and looks at him and says, if you don't like it, get out of my car. So he does. Good job, Sean. That's really the only mention of him other than there was another person there. And he just said, you know, he thought they were just all being stupid. It was just girls fighting. So he just left. So this fighting continues. Corey claims he had no idea what was about to happen. So Sarah is screaming at Adrian for hanging out and making out. She heard they made out too with Corey, saying like, you know, kind of a, it's against girl code type thing because he's my ex, which like, I do understand that. It, like I could see why she feels that way.
Yes.
But also she made it very clear she did not want him. So
yeah, it's still a conversation that if you're friends that should have been had, like,
totally.
Hey, I agree on Corey. Like,
do I think you need to just start beating the shit out of her? I mean,
no,
but they could have. They're also 16 and like,
yes,
I feel like to us, we get it because we're adults and we know how that goes. But like at 16, I don't know if I would have. I mean,
yeah,
I hope I would have known better. But so,
you
know, Sarah just starts like hitting Adrian and Corey, just, you know, quite the man of honor back there, just a real stand-up guy, just sits there while they fight. He said he thought they were just, you know, going to fight it out and be over it. I'm like, nope, that's what boys do. Usually it's a fight and then they're fine. So also, let's be honest, he loved it because they were fighting over him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course he loves that. Like, really, especially knowing Sarah, the girl he loves and is obsessed with, is like acting like she wants him back. So he's all about that. So they're fighting. Sarah grabs Adrian like by the back of her head, you know, like by her hair. She turns her head towards Corey and says, stay away from him. So Adrian, in turn, she turns back and she punches Sarah in the nose, which she got her pretty good. So this pisses Sarah off even more. And apparently it kind of pisses off Corey now because he actually grabs Adrian and then he pulls his belt off. Sarah puts it around Adrian's neck and they choke her and strangle her, and just basically attack her until she stops breathing.
Oh, dear God.
All of this in the car at the Taco Bell. Corey initially here, you know, he said that they thought she had just passed out in the back. So he said him and Sarah smoke a cigarette while they wait for her to, you know, wake up.
Regain consciousness.
And he said when she didn't, they both just freaked out and that Sarah just cried and cried. Poor Sarah, just heartbroken. You know, she didn't mean to do this. So, you know, she has feelings because she cried. So This also on this documentary, it is so just eerie and creepy because they ask Corey what happened in that car, which he later has gone on to kind of explain it, which I kind of just did. But he straight up gets this creepy ass look in his eye and he just goes, I don't want to touch on specifics. That's between me, Sarah, and Adrian. And he just has this creepy ass look. And it's like, no, you piece of shit. Adrian's dead. And she's not a part of this little plan that you guys did. No. Like, that's sickening to me. That's and it's not so between gross. You guys anymore. You made it everybody else's business by killing her. So, and also when they asked him in the interview, why, like, you know, poor Adrian, she probably thought you would be there for her and defend her. Like, you guys were pretty much like dating. And when they say that to him, they ask him what happened there. He gets this look and he just said, I'm always on Sarah's side. Is that not creepy and eerie, like a goosebump moment? Ew. And his eyes are just like empty, deer in the headlights.
So I'm pretty much he couldn't have Sarah, so he took the next best thing, which was Adrian. But the moment Sarah got pissed, he was like, oh, I have a chance again.
Correct.
It was all about Sarah. God.
Yeah. Just absolutely sickening. And to think how quick that all just happened in a parking lot. So according to Corey, he said that, you know, Sarah was so upset and all the things, but then, you know, decides, oh, wait, we need to get rid of the body. I'm like, oh, so she was so upset that she didn't think that, oh, maybe like, okay, if you really thought that she just had passed out, you're not a doctor, so like maybe call the ambulance if that's the case, if you genuinely didn't mean for that to happen, or I don't know, call 911, call any of the things. So no, you knew what you did, because she immediately is like, well, crap, we got to get rid of the body. We don't want them to know. So yeah, they are trying to figure out what to do. Sarah quickly thinks, okay, my grandparents, she's like, they have a farm and they think that they could just bury her body out there. So they drive out to this farm. They attempt to dig a hole, but the ground is too frozen because it's January in Illinois. So they can't do that. So instead they wrap her body in a tarp. They pour gasoline over her and they torch her body. So I don't know what they think happens when you do that. It's not like it just goes to dust.
Yeah.
Like even cremating a body takes hours.
It's such a high amount of heat too.
Yeah.
You need such a high, I can't remember the exact temperature.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get it with just gasoline.
No, I know. I was like, I looked up a thing that said how many, like the heat and how many hours it takes and it, because of bone and everything. Like, it's all, and you have to be in such a tight space to conceal that heat.
Yeah. Well, because you're, And also even when you get cremated, there are still bits of bone and stuff that are left there because it's not getting it all.
No. And that's why people don't just like this. It's pretty rare that people burn bodies and get away with it because of this alone. So they're stupid. So it's not working clearly. So they go buy more gasoline thinking this is gonna do the trick. So they douse her in more gasoline, nothing. Corey said too, the reason that they decided to cremate her was they really just wanted to give her a proper burial. No, you idiot. You wanted to destroy evidence that you had anything to do with this. Like, no.
Yeah, you guys' DNA is all over her. It's gonna be shown that she was beaten. That
Correct.
How forceful that belt was wrapped around her neck. Also,
it's your
you guys
belt
were holding
too.
That for a long time because you
especially
because
I know we've talked about this for a long time too. Like every week, I feel like somehow we bring up how to strangle someone is not a quick thing. It's like 7 minutes if fully on to have them die. Cause they like pass out and
well, it's like you finally watched Ready or Not when Jesse and I saw that in theaters. I looked at it and I was like, he's not dead. She didn't strangle him long enough.
Yeah. No,
and
no.
Guess what? He's not.
No. Yeah. Surprise. They always just like cough and then they're back at it. So it's like, And, strangling someone is like so personal too. Like you have to look them.
Yes.
I mean, depending on, in this case, they clearly
were looking her in the
eyes. So,
well, yeah,
unless you're behind them, I guess.
I would say if you had the belt and you were pulling it back, I mean, still either way,
that's true. Yeah, that's I'm not sure, but a someone. Very personal thing. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so back to her body. It's still not burning. So they are kind of like, well, what do we do? Oh, well, the next best thing would be to probably just cut her up, right?
Okay. Oh, God.
So, yeah, it's a pretty gruesome story, and I should have probably warned about that. But, you know, Corey, of course, he's a very stand-up guy, like we've talked about before. So he's really above doing this. He said, you know, he just refuses to be the one to actually do it. So what a good guy. They discuss back and forth how they can cut her up, and because he just won't do it. And then for some reason, their friend Nate comes to mind. Now, Nate's not even a close friend. He's more of an acquaintance. It sounds like they know this guy from school. They think he's really into blood and gore because he hunts and he's killed lots of animals, you know, in that. So they're like, well, he's a perfect guy for this job. So how gross is it that they're this comfortable that they just call this guy up? Hey, we need to talk to you. So they meet up with him. They explain everything that happened, what they did. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. So, okay. So then the next day he shows up, or they pick him up, and he brings a saw. I don't know what kind of saw, nor do I care. They go out to the farm. Corey said that him and Sarah were just so uncomfortable watching this while it was happening, so they just continued to smoke pot and they talked about music to distract themselves as he's cutting up their friend in front of them. So they decided that they needed to cut off her head and her arms because those are identifying pieces. And keep in mind, she's somewhat burned. I mean, pretty charred, I would say, at this point, which is also just sickening. But then they also decide, you know, they need to cut her torso. And when I was reading about that, they were saying how it was a very messy thing because, yes, that's where the majority of your organs are. So, yeah. So they sit there watching into, this. Her
stomach and, oh, God.
I know. So they just watch this and they're smoking pot, which also, I'm sorry, wouldn't that heighten your sense of paranoia?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be like, yeah, this is so chill. Like, no, I'd be like, I'm sorry. I would be even more paranoid. Like, are the cops here right now? Is she still alive? Yeah. Like, every kind of paranoia. So, you know, he finishes that, Nate, whatever. So they dump most of her body in a nearby ravine and they cover it up with like logs and twigs and all the things. So, but they really wanted to make sure they got rid of her head and arms somewhere else because those are the identifying pieces of information they believe. So Corey talked about how he held open a black trash bag while Nate dropped her head and arms into the bag. They dig a hole, like a manhole. They put her remains in there and then cover it up. So after that, they drive to McDonald's and they get food.
Gross.
This tells you what kind of sick people they are. Corey said the reason they went and got food was because they had been smoking all day. They were very high and very hungry. And in case you care, he got a double cheeseburger. So sick.
Oh, God.
Isn't that awful? Like, you just watch your friend get chopped up and you're just going to go have some McNuggets and whatever else you feel. Like, right. Sick.
And this Nate guy, like, what is wrong with you that you're just like, cool.
Okay with that. Like, yeah, man, it's fine. Like, are they paying you? No, you're just helping them. Are you even friends with them? Clearly not with it either, right? So
no, I hope he's still in jail because that's problematic as fuck.
Oh, I have some good information on him that you'll enjoy. So we'll get to that here first. Okay, so we'll kind of go back. So during all of this time, you know, this all happens, but Adrian doesn't come home from school that day. So her dad gets a call from her job that she has not shown up. She worked at, it was like a fast food place called Checkers. I had never heard of a Checkers.
I've heard of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she worked there. So her dad checks her bedroom and all of her work stuff is there. So he knows that she hasn't been home from school at all at any point to go. And he said it was actually kind of weird that she didn't go to work because she actually loved working there and he knew she wouldn't miss it because she also liked getting paid. So he calls the police. The police just assume because of her past that, you know, she was a runaway per usual. Adrian's dad straight up said, like, there's no way she would have left town and run away without picking up her paycheck. Because what teenager runs away without their paycheck? After they did more investigating, they found out that Adrian had gone to lunch with Sarah. So the police talked to Sarah, and their conversation went a little like this. So the cop said, "Did you go to lunch with Adrian?" Sarah: "Yes, I did, sir." "About what time was that?" "Between 12:30 and 1. After lunch, I dropped her off at the McDonald's across the street from her house because she didn't want her parents seeing a boy in the car with us. She said in the past that her dad did not want her hanging out with boys alone." So Adrian's dad, you know, he hears that and he thinks, okay, yeah, that's actually could be true, because she knows I don't want her to be with the boys. So maybe that is a possibility. So Sarah also ends the conversation with the police by letting them know that she is really worried about Adrian and that she probably ran away, but to please let her know as soon as they find out anything. Screw you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So police think like something just does not feel right about that. So they go and talk to Sarah again. This time Sarah says that her and Adrian weren't even really friends, and they asked her why she went to lunch with her then if they weren't friends and she didn't like her. She said that they had gotten into an argument about a boy that Sarah liked, and the boy liked Sarah back. So they went to go talk about it. She said the argument got heated, and she said, "I'll be honest, I hit her." And she said that Adrian hit her back, and she said she hit her pretty good. So then they said, "Did anyone see you guys fight?" And she said, "No, it was cold out. It was a busy lunch hour. This was all in the car and the windows were fogged up." Later on, a witness actually does come forward though, and said that when he was leaving Taco Bell, he walked past that car and he said the windows were totally fogged up, but the car was rocking around. And he said he just like chalked it up to high school kids making out at lunch or whatever. And so like, I bet he feels terrible too, but I found that odd. So
yeah.
Sarah said that Adrian was bawling when they were talking in the car and just begging her not to beat her up. And Sarah said, "Well, I told her it wasn't worth getting in trouble over hitting a little skink like her. So we just decided to leave each other alone and go our own ways." So that's her story. So cops, first of all, have to be like, "Are you kidding me? I don't have time for this drama. He said, she said, high school." Right. Yes.
Also, your story's already changed the moment your story changes.
Pretty like, drastically. And now violence is involved, but, you know, whatever. So the cops, like, don't buy that. They're not stupid. So this part is actually very interesting. So the school, Blackhawk Outreach, at the school, they're required to keep journals. So the very interesting, and I thought this, I can't believe this didn't get brought up much sooner, but the cops get a hold of their journals to read them. So here are some of the entries that are written in Sarah's journal. "I need a vacation so I don't hurt myself or someone else." Another entry said, "Hate, kill, destroy," in all caps. Another one says, "What is it with people today? It seems all I want to do is slaughter them like the fucking sheep they are." And then, first of all, can we say, do people read these journals, and how did any authority read this and not do anything?
Yeah. Why are we making kids write these things? It's like, so there was a case in England, something that were like that. The Grim Mystics actually covered the case, but I'd heard of it before, where this like young girl killed these little kids, and she had drawings in her journal of like these things. And she had things that only police knew in her drawings, but they didn't find them until like way later. I was like, well, who's not looking at the journals?
Right.
Why are these journals? That's why are you making kids write journals piece. And not looking at them?
Well, and at this school, if it's already for troubled youth and this is a requirement, they should probably have like a counselor or some like a confidential place. Like, hey, just so you know, people will read these. And if we need to, you know, if you need counseling.
If you're being required to write a journal in school, you should just assume that those are going to be read.
Correct. And clearly they weren't, or whoever read them and wasn't concerned also
dropped
sucks.
The ball. So, yeah.
So there's that. So then the day of the actual murder, she wrote in her journal, "I might be expelled today for spreading the fucking gif. Stupid bitch needs to back up off my Kool-Aid Gonna give him a note? Yeah? Well, I'll fucking kill her. So, side note on that too, Sarah called Adrian Jiff because she spread it.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, because I was like, wait, what? So, I had to look that up. But, so she writes that the day of. So, clearly that proves premeditation.
Premeditation.
Right there. Yeah. It wasn't like in the heat of the moment, she just snapped.
Yeah.
Her journal actually went on to even talk about how she was going to trick her into going to lunch with her. So this was
clearly
very planned out. Yes. So 3 days after the murder, Corey's conscience gets the best of him. He can't sleep. He can't stop crying. Duh. I don't feel sorry for you, actually, though, Corey,
no,
turns
because
out.
There's no way he didn't know what was about to happen.
Oh, I know. Seriously. And his story has changed, even from different documentaries I watched. Like, they changed. So,
yeah.
He heard Sarah had lawyered up, so he tells his dad that he thinks they need to get a lawyer. So, they do, but that kind of brings an alarm to Corey's dad. So, Corey's dad asks him if something happened in the car that day, and Corey nods. Then he asks Corey if Adrian was hurt that day, and he nods. And he says, was she hurt really bad that day? And he nods again. So Corey's dad, I'm impressed, good guy, he calls the cops on his son. When they asked him, like, if it was hard for him to turn his son in and to call the cops, he said, he didn't know if it was difficult, but it was the right thing to do. He said a family needs to know where their daughter is, and Corey needs to own up to whatever part he played in this. So I thought, good for him.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Because there's, like, in Florida, the one girl who the teenage boy lured her out and killed her.
Oh, yeah.
And that's still on trial, and he's trying to say he sees demons and shit. But his mom was arrested, too, for, like, washing
helping
his
him.
Bloody clothes,
yes.
And like an outlying for him and stuff. I'm
was
sorry.
That the kid that like Snapchatted it too?
Yes.
Was that the same kid? Mm-hmm. Okay. That was so
yeah,
sick.
I'm
I remember seeing that his
right
mom
now.
Was trying to cover that up, and I'm like, no,
yes.
No.
So she got arrested.
I love my
too.
Kid, but if no, no, no.
And
plus, like,
way...
if he's that crazy, he's probably gonna kill you too. So
right. The only way I'm helping my kid cover up a murder is if it was like self-defense or someone who like
right.
assaulted them or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And then I'll take the fall for it. It's fine.
Yeah, if
but,
anything. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's yeah, I would
but,
take the fall.
Cold-blooded killing? No, no.
No. We're especially
not
that was
that.
Vicious. So this dad, I was like, good.
Yeah.
So as part of the plea deal, because Corey ends up like confessing.
Of course.
Yeah, right, because he can't, but he agrees
and
to
of
show
course
them
he gets
where
a plea deal.
Adrian is. I know, of course. They always do. And that sucks that people have to like come on, just tell us this. We'll give you this if you do this.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
I feel like half the time they give them too good of a plea deal for the shit they were involved.
Yeah, they should start with something very small. Like, I feel like they give everything to them at once. It's like,
yes.
No. No, no. There's no need. So they, you know, he shows them where Adrian's at. So they find this manhole. They find the bag with Adrian's remains. And on the documentary, like, they do kind of blur it out a little, but, like, you can tell in the bag, like, you can see, like, the shape of a head. It's terrible. So this was at 2:00 in the morning. So, you know, they have to notify her family. So they call Adrian's dad. They said they're outside. And when they talked to the dad on the documentary, he said he literally was not expecting that. He said he thought they were calling to say, like, we have her here. She's in the car. She got in trouble. Or, like, she's in the hospital. She was in an accident. He said he had not even let his mind go to the fact that she had been murdered. He said it was just, oh. It's literally a parent's worst nightmare. I mean, I feel like when you're a parent, it's like you just have a heightened sense of awareness and fear of everything for your kid,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so he said he just like was not ready for that. So the next day, Corey leads them to the farm where they had tried to burn her body, and he shows them the rest of the remains. So the police even like asked him, how could you watch this? Like, your friend was mutilated and you just stood there, you know? And Corey said it was horrific. Like out of a horror movie. That's all he said. Like
ew.
No emotions.
Ugh.
So about a week later, Adrian's parents learned that she was actually dismembered, because they don't, nobody wants to hear that anyway. And, but they have to inform them, you know? And so Adrian's dad said that he now, like, to cope with things, he runs about 3 miles a day, and every single step he takes, he thinks about what happened to her.
Oh God. So
yeah, very sad. So sad. He was like really just a sweet guy and all of these things I saw him on. So, on February 1st, 2005, Sarah and Corey are both charged with first degree murder. And, Sarah actually went on to, or went to trial on Halloween of that year, kind of ironic just because she's a piece, but, the trial went on for 2 weeks and the jury deliberated for 15 hours, but came back hung. One freaking person. One person thought that she should be acquitted. Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. How? How do you hear this and think,
I know.
No.
I know.
She should go free.
So that's a bunch of BS.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I know. And after the family sits there through a two-week trial of hearing these horrible things.
And now they have to go through it again.
Yeah. So it ends in a mistrial. So she doesn't even go back to trial for almost a full year. So then she goes back and she gets convicted that time. So she gets sentenced to 48 years, which is it. I don't think that's long enough. And then for murder, and then 5 years for concealment of a body. So a total of 55 years or 53 years.
What about desecration of a body and the mutilation? Like,
I know. I'm guessing like maybe they just.
Abuse of a corpse?
Yeah. All those things like concealing and like dismemberment is technically a. Like, I mean, I know she didn't physically do that part, but like that's a charge of its own. So.
But like. How was this not premeditated? Did they not charge her with premeditated murder? Was it not first degree?
Well, I think it was because she was a juvenile is why. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I know. Don't care, right? So she's currently serving her sentence in Logan Correctional Facility in Lincoln, Illinois. So Corey pled guilty, and he was sentenced to 40 years and then for murder in part of his plea deal, you know, less, but then in 5 years for concealment of a body. So we'll talk about some of that a little bit more, but our little friend Nate here, who actually dismembered her, get this. He was only charged with concealment of a body, not dismemberment, which is a charge of his own, like we had said. So he was sentenced to 5 years. And get this. He only served 4 years before he got out.
And then
I don't know if like
again?
Concealment of a body is like a higher charge than dismemberment. So like they were just going for like however many, but how is that it? But here's the silver lining. He kind of got his justice because he was killed in a car accident in 2012.
All right. But did he kill anyone between then?
I mean, yeah, like, who knows, right? Because if he went to prison in, what, 2006, let's even say.
Okay,
so he was out in
2010.
So I guess he was barely out when he died, which is
okay,
good.
Fine. Hopefully he didn't have time to kill someone, because someone who will that readily
clearly
dismember a body
and kill
probably
animals?
Probably going to eventually. Okay, killing animals if you're hunting is one thing. But
yeah,
to just
they weren't really specific on that. So yeah. I was like assuming it's hunting, but like I shouldn't probably assume because he clearly
I
is
guess,
not in the right state of mind. So,
oh dear God. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, obviously throughout the years they have gone through all of their appeals. One of the documentaries had ended on them saying that both him and Sarah were trying to say that they were only, you know, kids when they did this. And so their crime is unusual and cruel, and they shouldn't be in for that long. Corey said, by the time I get out, I will be unable to find employment. I'm like, dude, you'll be like in your 60s. Shut up.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about your rights. Like, you killed somebody.
No.
So
I'm sorry. Adrian never got a chance to do anything.
Right. And so it was just disgusting. Like the fact that they went through all of that. So like, Corey, they do resentence him. He gets the chance to be resentenced, but he gets resentenced to the same thing. Like the judge was like, don't care. You're staying in for as long as you can.
Yeah.
And however, I did find from the time these documentaries came out till now that Corey now actually identifies as a female, and he goes by the name of Harley Quinn. What a slap in the face to actual Harley Quinn. Yeah.
No.
So because I found a picture of him when I was looking and I was like, did he grow his hair out? Like, why do his bangs look curly? And then I saw that and I was like, okay. So They honored it, though, and they called him Harley Quinn. But the judge basically was like, let me find where
I thought I had written it down. Did they keep them in the male prison?
I don't know. That I could not find that. But they were just like, yeah, no, you're still going to stay there. So then Sarah, she also, you know, tried to play the same card and it was rejected. The judge wouldn't even consider doing a resentencing. He said that she's a cold and callous person and she cannot be rehabilitated.
Yeah.
So good. And I know we kind of talked about it earlier, but I had put in here, if you want to see some fun transitions of Sarah throughout time, just look her up, because you can see all the different hairstyles she goes through and just how creepy she is. So there's that. I'll kind of end with this part of it. Her dad talks about how he like writes poems to Adrian. Sorry, Adrian's dad. And he cried a lot on the documentary. And he ended with this poem that he wrote that said, "You played the hand you were dealt, even though it wasn't that good. You held on to it. You did the best you could. You were dealt to be my daughter. I was dealt to be your dad. No matter how the game turned out, you're the best hand I ever had." I was like, that's so sad. So that is the horrific story of Adrian Reynolds. And Sarah Kolb, which I don't even like want to say their names. I feel like they don't need any more attention because they clearly thrive on that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my goodness. That poor girl. Like, yeah, she clearly had a rough life, you know, and that was just, geez.
Yeah, that was a brutal one. When I first heard that, I was like, how did I not know about this or hear about this? But it was back still before like social media and you could just find the news any second of the day. So that was a pretty graphic one. And the fact that these 16-year-old kids, like all over some petty drama, like that's...
Yeah.
Can't take that back. And yeah, like when they get out, they're still going to have a life. Yeah, they'll be in their 60s or whatever, but like... They shouldn't even get a chance at life at this point. I don't think.
No, not at all. That's not okay by any means.
Yeah. So there is that, but I mean, yeah. So
that's horrific. Poor Adrian. Yeah.
I know. I mean, she was a cute girl too. And obviously I'll, you know, post pictures and stuff. And it's just a very sad thing, and I feel like that escalated quickly.
You know, like, I mean, it just sounds like Sarah had a lot of like jealousy and control issues, and she didn't like to share. And unfortunately, Corey or Harley Quinn had their own mental issues, and were allowing Sarah to control them. Like, that's not okay.
I know. And I just think like, no, like, especially with Corey, like, okay, you want to identify as a female, cool, whatever. But also, should we honor any sort of rights you have? Like, you didn't honor any other rights that Adrian had. Like, screw you, you know?
I wonder with that I'm curious about that then, if they were moved to a female prison or not.
That's a good point.
If they were taking hormones and stuff like that, if they allowed for them to transition, that's a whole other thing. And
I know, because I'm like, even do that in prison? Do they get those kind of rights in prison? Because I don't feel like any rights should really be given in prison, in my opinion.
I mean, but then you go down a slippery slope of all that.
Any rights regarding anything at all. It's like,
I don't know. But I mean, I think they do. I don't know if they allow... I think it's a case by case situation on if they've already are transitioned before the crime or, you know, before trial and stuff. I think it's case by case kind of. And
yeah, it's just the whole thing is just sad, and it's just a very sad story. And I mean, I'm glad that they did not get lesser sentences. I wish they would have gotten longer sentences, but I'm glad
they both should have gotten life. It was clearly premeditated. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying we should have tried to sentence these 16-year-olds to death, but that should have been the plea deal. Like, you get life instead of us trying to give you the death penalty.
And like when they went to trial, they were barely a year shy of being an adult, you know? So it's No, you took away her chance at being an adult, so whatever. Yeah,
that's rough. But so that's the story. North Dakota.
What's
remember
that?
The case I did from North Dakota, he was like 15 or 16 when he committed the murder, and they, even though he was like 30 or so, they charged him as a minor because he was a minor when the crime was committed.
Yes. Which is then he died
like a year and a half after being out of prison, so.
That's kind of good. It's kind of just like karma takes care of things for us. Mm-hmm.
So I guess hopefully by the time these two are able to get out of prison, they've gotten theirs, because let's hope karma catches up with them. That's a rough one.
Exactly. So yeah, thanks for hanging in there on that one. It was kind of a long one, and there was just a lot of information that went into that, and it was heavy.
Definitely. It was. Yeah. On a lesser heavy note, we've gotten a couple people sending in, you know, stories and stuff for us. So keep emailing us or messaging us. We love to hear from you guys. Anything, like I said, paranormal, true crime, honestly, whatever. What a spooky story.
Any kind of story, Bigfoot, that's eerie. Anything could be. Yeah.
Or adjacent. Like, even if you, like, a family member, like your uncle, saw something or had some experience with something, like, you just email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach us on any of our social medias, which is TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All of those will be linked in the show notes as well. Don't forget to rate and review too, guys. It does help. Who knows why, but it does. So wherever you listen, if you are able to rate and review, we would really, really appreciate it if you did. This is something we want to keep doing. We want this to be the long haul thing. So your guys' help with that, like, it means so much to us.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And it takes like a quick second, you know? You don't even have to write anything, but we would... I mean, that's fine too.
I mean, if you want to write something, it doesn't even have to be like about the show. Just tell us... Your favorite cryptid, or you know, whatever.
What your order is at Wendy's for that menu.
what you remember from those cheap days? Do you remember when Arby's had the 10 for $10?
No. Oh my god! Aggressive.
I lived on that. My last apartment I lived at, I was broke as fuck all the time. And so that would be several meals for me, and I could walk to Arby's from my apartment. So I'd walk there and I'd get like a couple of the like ham and cheese melts and all these other things and some curly fries and some mozz and stuff like that. And then that would at least be a couple meals for me then.
Yeah. Maybe I do remember this, because you could get a lot of stuff and you could make a whole meal out of it. Like,
without a doubt. Yeah. Or
share with someone and spend $5. Yeah.
Yes. That's right. No, it was fantastic.
I love their potato cakes. They're, gosh, I'm super hungry. You've never had those?
No, I have. I love them. I'm just really hungry now. I just want Arby's now, or any food. I've got to run errands after we're done with this too. But yeah, in your review, tell us what your favorite fast food meal deal was. You know?
Yeah. I'm all about that. So.
Heck yeah. Okay,
well. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Yeah. Stay heartland kind.
But darkland wary.
Hey, Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind, whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light, Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95 and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe.